Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening, folks? This is the Patriot Nation Radio Show on the Patriot Nation Radio Network, and of course, streaming live on Facebook Live feed right now. Please share and invite all your friends if you're there watching. And my good friend Lisa's watching. Lisa, if you could please screen the calls and let me know exactly who's there. And ladies and gentlemen, we have an action-packed show tonight. On this episode of Patriot Nation Radio Show, we'll be talking with Eugene Wisorek and his partner, Goldie Moore. We'll be discussing one of the most important court victories to ever occur, so tune in. Make sure you stay tuned right here. Find out how his case is so important to America as he exposes the corruption, outright dishonest judicial system, and how to beat them at their own game. We will explain why no tapes equals no justice. And this is a must-hear show as Eugene holds the key to free many from being detained as political prisoners and more. We will also have a live report from the from Orlando where they're taking down the statue. We're going to bring, hopefully we get John on right away here at the top of the hour for a quick 10-minute report of exactly what took place over in Orlando. We have a show scheduled tonight for 1.5 hours. I added an extra half hour live radio just in case because I believe we're going to run over. So, I don't know who the guests are this evening on the line. Blasted up phone line. So, all right, I see my guest right here. That's one guest. And, John, you're watching. Send me your area code so I know for sure. It's going to be a busy show. But right now, I'm going to play the top of the hour break, pay homage to our friends who support our show. I'm going to invite some folks to the show and share this video around, and we'll be back in 4 minutes and 28 seconds with a quick report from my friend John, who was over in Orlando today, where they had the Take Down the Statue rally and were overshadowed by a 12-foot-long Confederate flag and a bunch of Confederate flags on flagpoles and great patriots standing for their history and their heritage. Be back after this.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio. 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives. Big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com. The official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
I never knew about at a funeral or like the last day when an officer has passed, and they actually go and the dispatch will close basically down the radio air for emergency only. And then she will call the badge number or he will call the badge number from dispatch. And obviously there's never an answer. Brave soul has passed away in the line of duty. Felt like something needed to be done or to recognize that. And that's what the song is about, basically. It's about an officer who's, you know, gone down in the line of duty and, you know, he's given his all. And, you know, when they do reach out for the last call, he answers back and these are his words. And one thing a lot of people don't know, I know a lot of cops, you know, in and out of uniform. They are very human, just like you and I. Pick and choose what laws they uphold, but they have to uphold the ones that are put in place by our representatives. And our representatives are the people that we put in office. And the same people that are out there with their signs are the same people that are putting lunatics in office. Here's the wake-up call, people. Don't come down on the men and women in blue for doing their job. Come down on your representatives for passing these BS laws and get involved in your political on a local level and fix what the problem is. Fix the problems in our laws today. Get involved in your local politics and get moving. Get moving in America. Become a citizen. A citizen doesn't mean you sit back and collect a paycheck from the government. A citizen means you are a part of the government, a part of the citizenry, a part of the voting and voicing public. And that's what I think the song says more over than anything else. And if people want to hear it, because I know they do, please go to Dave, Dave Bray USA right now on Facebook. That's DaveBray USA.
All units, stand by for a special announcement. Emergency traffic only.
11:45. Prince William calling, 11:45. This is the final call for 11:45. Officer Ashley Gwinden, end of watch, February 27th, 2016. May you rest in peace.
This message is brought to you by TheAmericanBrand.org. We are a 501c4 nonprofit founded by veterans for all Americans to strengthen the roots of American working class by telling the stories of America through citizen storytellers. In partnership with Patriot Nation Radio, we are donating $50 to the nonprofit Devil Dog USA with each purchase of a $250 lifetime membership to TheAmericanBrand.org. Devil Dog USA is dedicated to helping homeless veterans find housing and opportunity. Sign up today at TheAmericanBrand.org. That's TheAmericanBrand.org for a lifetime membership and use the sales code Devil Dog USA at checkout. Again, that's one word, Devil Dog USA. Help us give honor to those who have served.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio. 347-637-3942.
All right, folks, there you have it. That's the top of the hour break. That's our good friend there, Dave Bray USA, and Scott Kesterson from TheAmericanBrand.org. So check out these people. Good stuff happening there, ladies and gentlemen. Now today, down in Orlando, Florida, they had a take down the statue protest. There was a county meeting there or a town meeting. They had the folks come in. They had a certain amount of time to speak about taking down another Confederate piece of history that was erected here in the Orlando area in 1917. So it's been there for 100 years, and the folks who want it gone, it's been erected way before they were even born. They have no clue about what history truly is. So we had a gentleman down there today. He was right there in the thick of things. He's a Florida 3% fella. His name is Hog John.
I'm bringing him in here
real fast. Hey, John, what's happening? Welcome to the show, brother.
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I just want to tell my featured guest, Eugene and Goldie, just please hold on. I want to get this report right out of Orlando today, as they had to take down the statue counter rally. And these guys here, my friend John here, is from the counter rally to the liberal who were down there causing trouble. Statue trying to erase history. Not going to happen in Florida from what I can tell. Us how'd it go when you were down there? I was watching some of the videos. Tell us a little bit about the mood of the people.
Got a lot of background there.
Window down. CB or shortwave radio or something. John, stay there on hold. I don't know how much time you got. I'm going to bring in our featured guests here, folks. You don't want to miss this. This right here is going to be one of the most important pieces of information that has come across any radio show in a long, long time. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, Eugene Wisart and his partner and good friend, Goldie Moore. Welcome to the show, folks.
How are you doing?
Thank you.
We're doing good. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I have been posting a little video around to give information about who Eugene is. But real fast, what we're going to do is we're going to start right from the very beginning, Eugene, and go, you're at your job and you're working. You just had got a review from the shift foreman, and it was a good review. And the next thing you know, you graciously donate $1,000 to mayoral candidate Daley. And what happens next?
Well, we get canned then. But before we do this, I'd like to say something. We're not doing it just for ourselves. I got three friends out there that if I go out, I'm taking them out with me. And just to let them know, it's Dave out there. His son has been in like a prison for 12 years for something he didn't do. And George lost his kids. And there's a grandma out there from Rolling Meadows. And we're going to make sure she gets her grandkid back and her daughter. And she's a real good person. She's a fighter. And she wrote today to get her tapes and a registered letter. Now, either way, this helps your guests, too, before they know about me, because I know all. Here's the point. She actually wrote in there. She knows it's a fraud. If they don't give her the tapes, it's a fraud. If they give her the tapes, it's going to be a fraud. So it's a win-win situation for her. And we're not going to let her down. We're not going to let the other two down because I know them for a long time. I know her for a while. So, Grandma, if you're out there, hey, we're not going to let you down no matter what it costs. And I'm not coming out unless you guys come out. But here's the point, getting back to what you're saying now, okay? This is the point. Then they can me for that. You know, they set you up and they can you. But see, I already knew the game. I was in the game for a while when my grandfather found out. I was in the game since 12, 8. I knew that everybody cheated. Politics were politics, how they ran the show, how it works here. And to tell you the truth, we got to say something about Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the best president you're ever going to have. And I'll tell you why. Because he's not a politician and he's not a lawyer. And he's trying to do the right thing, only he doesn't understand who his friends are yet and who are not. But he can't let them get in there, because if he gets in there, he's going to screw everything up for them, and they're going to see all the money and everything they've been taking out of you. And out of courts are frauded and everything's gone, because your courts are worthless. So we can get another thing, too. We can get to the Supreme Court by getting in there without even going the way you guys go in there. We know a lot of tricks how to do this. But getting back to my story, I was knocked off. I was fired. So, you know, I just figured I'd take a shot at it, because everybody says you can't beat the city, you know, and I'm the kind of person that I'll try anything. You know what I'm saying? So, in other words, when I got in there, I started suing them, but I knew the lawyers were all, they can't help you. They all belong to the Bar Association. The judges are lawyers. Everybody's lawyers. They're in the same game. So if you think you're going to get a lawyer to help you, I'm sorry. I can't go along with you on that one. You're better pro se. You know what I mean? Be serious. They can say that you're a fool for not having a lawyer, but you're a loser if you have one. You know, so, yeah, and they can, any lawyer can call in and tell me about that, and let's ask him about the tapes and everything else and see how far he goes. He ain't going to go far at all. But anyway, I took my case into court, and they held me back 4 years because they were trying to take money off me. They knew, you know, and they didn't want to go in because they were using a ploy, and they knew the first judge, Decker, was going to retire. And what they didn't want everybody to know is Harold Washington, who fired at the time, gave the deal to the Hubert Agency. And the Hubert Agency was going into court and doing this, but my lawyer tipped them off that I wasn't the guy. See, I was told all the time is if they're going to blame you for something that you didn't do, shut up and take the blame. So if you take the blame, you just tell them one time I didn't do it and walk away, and you save all your doctor's notes and show that you weren't there, then they ain't got no charges on you. Then the other thing is to politically get yourself involved, so it's politics. See, nobody knows what the Shackman is. But the Shackman is just basically a decree and a contract with the First Amendment. And the reason it started out is the Shackman, because he went in there, he couldn't run for public office. Nobody would help him because the dailies, you know, kept him down because they controlled all the votes, all the people that worked for him, and You know how that works. You can control the votes any way you want to control the votes without me saying it to you, but I can take a lot of them are dead after they've been voting.
Real fast, before we get moving too fast across, you were talking about how the politics kind of work in there in Chicago a little bit. Now, there's something that's called, I think you call it patronage, is happening in the Chicago politics. Explain a little bit what patronage is, how they continue to remain in office by, you know,
it's not just Chicago. It's all over the country now because it started in Chicago with Kennedy. When Kennedy was running and they stole Illinois for him and they won it by a percentage point or less than a percentage point and they cheated Nixon, they had an enemy for life because these are two people that didn't like each other, Mayor Daley, the old guy, and Nixon. See, my grandfather knew he was in with all this, so I learned from the guys firsthand knowledge when I was a little kid, you know, what they did. So Daley was a smart and sharp politician. So what he did, he didn't care about being president or anything like that. He wanted his guys in the House, like Ross Minkowski in the House Ways and Means Committee, other guys taking over other places, because this way you can control the situation more than a president. He's only in for two terms usually. So if you got these guys in and put in the senators and they become the whips or the Speaker of the House, then you control the whole country. And then you control it with the business and the politicians and everything else. And mainly big business controls it with the lobbyists, okay? So this is what I learned when I was actually 6, 8, 12, you know, so it was old school to me, you know. And basically, once they get yourself in politics, then they got the families voting for you, then they control the votes, they control the voting booths. Right now in Chicago, you don't have a Republican ever running for mayor. You just have a general election. And the judges are all Democrats. They just jump over to the Republican table. I was able to keep out of the problem by hanging around with guys that liked me. The older guys liked me. I was just a kid. So they would tell me how to do it. You never count the votes. You never get in there when they're counting the votes. You don't do anything. Always you come knock on the door after 7 o'clock when it's closed and you never get in. So you never get yourself caught up in it. You say honest. So basically I just give the people a ride home at night or drop $100 or $200 for food, you know. So in other words, but I was always clean by these guys. And they would count the votes, play with the votes, do what they wanted to do. In Chicago, they got a little rule where they keep some places, they start late so they can stay open late at night. And if you're sort of losing, you just make that call, and you get that call over that one ward, and you get all the votes you need. See, like our biggest place to get votes was usually on the South Side Cemetery where Washington was buried. There used to be a Camp Davis out there, I heard. And, you know, I was a kid, and I was wondering, man, someday I'll get to go out there and see where all these voters are, you know. And it was on Cottage Grove, and they had all these guys that died from diphtheria and everything. They buried them over there, and they got, it looks like the Washington Monument. So we drive through there one time, and I'm going, and I get out, and my foreman, this big, tall, black guy, he was cool. And I said to him, I'm going to look for this one name. I was looking for this guy from Alabama or Mississippi, Tippett. You know, Tippett's, because that's one of the Mississippi names. I found the guy, you know, looking for him. And I said to him, just kidding around, I says, look, this guy's been voting for how long? I've seen him since I was a kid, you know. And he says, well, what are you moaning about? He's been here longer than you, you know. So what could I say? And that's how they talked and things in fighting Chicago. It was nothing to doing that. And then they would get their information out through the White House, through the whole thing out there. Because once you control the key jobs and positions in the country, then you control everything. See, you don't need to be the president. You don't need to be that. You just have to have the important jobs and go here and there and there. And then once you control the courts, think about this. Your judges are former lawyers. Yours are matter lawyers because they cheat. Well, what do you think these guys did before they got there? So, in other words, they were the same thing. They're going with one another. They all belong to the bar. The guys that I know that handle my stuff and do stuff that is, they got degrees, but they don't go to the bar. They stay as legal aides, but they're better than lawyers. So they're doing stuff for me. I do stuff, learn from them, and it's easy to do this then. You know what I mean? It gets easy because the law is just right and wrong and common sense. All that mumbo-jumbo and big talk, that's just to confuse you and get you to pay more money and get scared of the system. What you do when you go in is you bring it down low because these guys are so used to talking high, like from Harvard and everything like that, that they can't talk with a guy on a lower level. So you got them at your mercy, and you're dealing with them. And then plus, you got to remember one other thing when you go into court. You let them charge you. You let them prove you did it before you start defending yourself. Because if you defend yourself, that's stupid, because half of the charges are not charges. They're made up. How are you going to defend a charge that's made up? It doesn't work that way. You can't get a witness of something that didn't happen. And discovery is the worst thing in the world for any person, because discovery is not for you. It's for them to build up cases against you and bring in their witnesses and tell them how they do it. See, that's the game. So you got to understand how the game is totally played. If you don't know how the game is played, you don't belong in a courtroom. I mean, you're just going to get hurt. You're going to go over there and write brief after brief. You know what I mean? And it ain't going to work. It just can't, because they're going to cheat you anyway. Now, here's one thing maybe you didn't know about the two different kinds of fraud. There's that external and internal fraud. You know, they use it a different way. But when it's like internal fraud, that means you're being frauded by, say, the city or someone else. The judge uses his discretion and what he thinks is fraud. So when you think you're showing the judge fraud, you ain't showing nothing, because he don't have to do that. You have to show that the other side or the lawyer forges the judge. You bring him into the game. That's the external fraud. So basically, when I went out to beat them, I just used what I had to use that they were doing on them. Just went the same way they were going, went after them. And I knew they were going to be lying, because the first time when I was in court, I was sitting with the judge and I was talking with him, and I said, you know, I don't even think I have to tell a lie in this case. I mean, these guys are telling all lies left and right, and we're laughing. And the point was is that they were blaming me for things that they couldn't possibly prove because I wasn't there. The only thing I had to worry about was getting into court and being my own attorney, and after court, finding somebody that's going to listen to you and do what you got to do. And it took about 20-something years, because you first got Trump in now, Sessions and these guys. And think about this. Why are they making such a big fuss? I learned that when you make a big fuss like that, you're making a screen because you're hiding something else. Like, they're the probably the other side is the ones that's been hiding the voting, doing this shit, doing the fraud. Hillary's been doing a lot wrong. It ain't Trump. Trump's a businessman. He's running this like a business. You people voted for these people. You made this country into a business. So in other words, since you made it a business, why not a businessman? So he's running like a business for you, and everybody's picking on him. Now, don't you think it's strange out there? I'm asking you this question straight out, Mark. I mean, what do you think's happening? Why are they blaming this guy for every single thing in the world if they're not trying to hide something? Tell me.
I have no idea. They're trying to hide something in every avenue of government,
right,
from one end to the other, from the local school board all the way up to the executive office. It's a big scam, I think. They replaced the whole system.
Well, you got to remember that it's all based on money and fraud. So these guys that are out there now, even some of his Republican buddies, have been in this game. They don't want to ruin this game, so they got to jump on his butt. Now, you know, you can tell from the last thing he said, I heard him yesterday say something that made me realize how smart a guy he is, because I heard this myself from somebody. And he says that he wants to not give any messages out or talks. And people say, ooh, that's bad. No, it's not bad, because you know what's with Trump? Trump thinks before he speaks. His brain goes too fast. That's why he made a lot of money. Another thing, don't be jealous because he's a billionaire or he's got billionaires around him, because, ladies and gentlemen, who do you think is going to fight for you? Do you think anybody here without money is going to be able to beat these guys? Just think about it. When you walk into a courtroom, who's paying for that courtroom and everybody there? Who's paying to get you downtown? Who pays when they get convicted? You're paying for everything. So
now,
this guy at least got billions of dollars, and he'll help you. Go ahead.
You got into court, and when you first got there, you had no idea exactly what you were going to do. So how did you prepare yourself? I'm asking questions based on some of the things I watched. And how did you prepare yourself for court?
You watched the stuff, you used to watch this stuff with Perry Mason, okay? It wasn't to watch Perry Mason. It was just to get the way they act and the way they handle themselves, you know, because it's a show, but they basically tell you a lot of stuff. And actually, the court is a show, because they know already what's going to go on before you get there. And they told me this themselves. The judges, the lawyers, they would just talk. They would talk right in front of me because I wouldn't pay attention. So basically, I prepared myself like that going in, and I just had to go in with a game plan, and the game plan was to bring it down to a level that they couldn't go to. See, they were so used to being highly educated. When you're highly educated, you can't go down to a lower level. So they're at my place now. And they just can't do it. And they're lying. And what are they going to do? They use big words for certain things, you know, so you don't understand. You get scared. Well, you bring them down to your level. You're okay with the judge. And by the way, here's another thing when I first started. Do you know that when a judge tells you he can't help you, he's going to treat you as a lawyer, he's lying. If you look at my case is a precedent. Now, Goldie will tell you more about that yesterday. But the precedent is they must help you. You're even allowed to go up to the witness and talk to him, and they got to be held behind a line. So when someone says they're treating you as a lawyer, they're lying to you. If they're telling you there's no tapes, they're lying to you. Because how are you going to keep a record if you don't have a tape? I mean, my God, you can't go by what she prints. And it's actually Judge Posner, who I knew personally, talked to him. He says that the only real record of any case is your master tape. Now, your master tape is held inside a vault, always inside the courthouse you're in. You got the other two tapes that are in the court reporter's thing or the new electric things that they use. It's in the court reporter's action where she does it. The microphone up there is not for you to talk. That's for the tape. That's for the tape that is going to tell everybody what's going on in court and taping the stuff. They have to tape every day. As a matter of fact, if you want to be smart out there, why don't you read up your budgets on all your states and see if tapes is not covered in there before they tell you there's no tape. See? And it'd be a good way to ask for your tape is through a letter with a registered mail. When they send you back an answer, they're committing mail fraud. So now you're taking it away from the court of what you're in, say, for children or for cars or this or that or anything, criminal cases, and you're bringing it into a federal court now because that's mail fraud. Okay? Now, once they're committing mail fraud, that takes you out of that court into another court. And now with Trump being there, they're worried because he's not the typical politician. He doesn't even know where the slush funds are, probably. See, I probably know more about that stuff than he does. And then another thing is you got Sessions there trying to do the right thing. So anytime you see so many people against somebody, it's because they're cracking their game. That's how it is in every organization, every system. That's the way the game's played, Mark. That's it. So basically when I got in, all I had to do was question these guys, and you only bring in about two witnesses. You never bring in a ton of witnesses because they're all going to mess up. You bring two good guys that'll do what they can for you, and they stand out, and they don't make no mistakes. You bring in all these witnesses like they did. They had chop suey. And the judge actually was telling him, if you read the transcripts, Mark, and I think you maybe did, the judge told him, Mr. X, if you bring any more people in here like this, I'm going to hold you in contempt. He says, what are you trying to do, prove he didn't do it? Every witness that came in that they brought in was for me. This is no kidding. And it's written in that stuff. So we learned two things already right now is that you're not, as you have the judge helping you when you're pro se. If he don't, he's not being a judge. And don't believe a judge can't be sued, because if he's not doing the capacity as a judge, you can sue him too. So there's no problem with that, yeah. Or anybody, nor guardians or anything, you know, blatums. Everybody can be sued if you're not doing your job. What would you want to say, Mark? I have some questions.
So now you're in court. And you bring in, you said you brought in only a couple witnesses.
Right.
One of the witnesses was the foreman who gave you the review, and he gave you a great testimony. He's like, yeah, the guy comes to work. He's always there when I need him. You know, he's on time. He's always early. Great worker. Then they call, like, your foreman's boss. And what does he say?
Well, he said I was a great worker, too. I mean, everybody was for me. See, if you read the thing, there was nobody that knew who fired me, even. See, they were caught up. Half of them had to go get a drink, they even said, before they came in because they couldn't handle court. What these guys didn't understand, and everybody didn't understand, this was their first court case in a Shackman, too. And a Shackman is just another name for the First Amendment. It was Shackman because they dealt with him. And going back to why they call it the Shackman, because he lost in Chicago in the appellate court, in the regular court. But he went to Washington, and who's sitting there in 1968 but Dickie Nixon in control of that court? So in other words, if Dickie's controlling that, he hates Daley. All he's got to do is dump Daley, and Daley has no more patronage, and there's no working for this guy. So he blows it. So they decide to give Shackman a deal and say, here's what the Shackman is now. We're going to make a deal with you that we're never going to commit this crime again. We admit that we were doing the wrong thing. And if we do it again, you automatically win. So they had, like, I know they had thousands of guys before me, and 100,000 maybe, and they all lost but me because they were getting dumped by their lawyers. You got to remember, if the lawyer didn't prove, I mean, here's the point. I could say you're fired because you got one brown shoe and one black shoe. And you can say, well, that's not a reason to fire me. I didn't do anything wrong. Well, you're still fired under the Shackman because it's not political. You see what I mean, Mark? It's a play on words. You didn't prove politics. See? You have to prove politics and that you didn't do it. Half of these guys didn't know that, and their lawyers wouldn't go along with it. And let me tell you, a guy from eighth grade shouldn't be as good as a lawyer. They should all knew what they were doing. So what does that tell you, Mark? That they're all trolling the cases. So basically, that's what it went. As we're going in here and questioning these guys, now he's winning, you know, pretty good. You know, it was pretty good because after every day, they'd come and say, man, you're kicking their ass. At the end of the fourth day, I had lawyers in there watching the case because they can't. They hated what they had to do, but they had to do it because they're members of the bar. And they'd be coming up tipping me on, do this, do that, do that. They were actually sticking for me because they wanted to do that. See, you can't hate everybody. They're just doing it to protect their families and stuff, or they'll have no job. You got to go around that, and you got to use logic and common sense and beat them a regular way, beat them with their own game. And if they come out of their own game and come to the real law, then you beat them that way. So it's a catch-22 for them. You're not going to lose either way. As a matter of fact, most of you people that are pro se's, you can win your case by just asking yes and no answers. I mean, think about this. You could ask somebody right out, straight out, is there a tape? They'll tell you no, they're committing perjury. Then you ask, they tell you yes, then where's my tape? See what I mean? Like, in other words, they're caught. If you know how to be tricky with these guys, they can't even answer yes and no answers. So
Right. Basically,
the court is very, very simple. You could think about that yourself, Mark. I know what I'm saying to you sounds oversimple, but it is simple. Everything about this is simple. They're just lying and cheating and forging your stuff. And it isn't the court reporters that forge. They get your transcripts or the tapes, and they hand it to the other side, and the other side does the forging. Because you got to understand, it can't be the court reporter, because she don't know what the other lawyers want. So you got to use your head on this one. Everybody blame her. You can't blame her, Mark.
Right.
They backdate
documents, and they change documents, and they cover up stuff. If someone was to get their tapes, should they get their transcripts as well so that they can make sure the tapes and the transcripts match up?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And don't pay no high exorbitant prices for these things, because there's people that say they pay $10,000. They got to be out of their minds. You know what I mean? I mean, that's not what it is. I mean, it never is that much. When they tell you a high price, that's because they know you're not going to pay for it. You're not going to get it. Just ask for your tape first. Then you can ask for a transcript if you want. Then what you do with your tape, you go over the tape, look at what page is wrong, what page is different when you're listening to it. Just ask them to pay for those pages. Why should you pay for the whole thing? I mean, think about it. You're just wasting your money, and this is all a game to get your money. I mean, it's common sense, isn't it, Mark?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, think about it.
Yeah,
where's
my tape?
Simple.
I don't have no tape. That's bullcrap. Every proceeding is recorded. We know that. You just lied in court on the road.
That's right.
Because
there's no tape. That's the point. Once you get them lying, you got them. Once you got your tape and it doesn't match the transcript, case is over. You win. Now, there's two other procedures you use. There's Rule 11. You know what Rule 11 is, Mark?
I have read about it because I've been researching you. But why don't you tell the folks, because you are the man, right?
Okay,
we're getting this information out.
Rule 11 is a simple issue here. And you don't go looking for it in court papers. You look it in the takeout rules. Now, Rule 11 is that under E of that, and they took that out and put it in F when I start coming after them, but I still got the original. And it is that if they take anything out of your case and don't put it back, whether it's pages, whether it's the tape, whether it's anything that they take out and don't put back, they can't file another motion. Do you realize what that means now, folks? That means that if they can't file another motion, you can go in and ask for a directed verdict, and they can't say yes or no to it. You win the case. That simple. See, nobody thinks it's that simple. It is simple. Now, what happened in the first date when I was doing the court case, where really I won it on this one, is X and Smith, I did my own case. Then they found out that I was kind of sharp, because after day three, Duff said, I can't help you because you're killing these people. You know what I mean? And he even asked me, listen to this, Mark. He asked me right out, and it's in a transcript, do you mind giving them a break? You know, they got two more witnesses to bring in. I said, discovery's been over for 2 years. What are you talking about? And then he says, but, you know, they think they can really do something with this. Why don't you give them a chance? Now, this is in the transcript, and you can read it. And I says, okay, remember, but if you want to put them on the stand, it's you that wants to do it, not me. So they bring these two guys out, and they start talking about breaking up a truck. But what they didn't understand is here's what they do. They take the trucks, and the taxpayers will pay for it. They run out the warranty, keep them in the building for 6-7 months, run them out in the street, and the warranty's out, and you pay for it, the taxpayer. So I had one of these trucks, and it blew up right under me. I was knocked me right off. It blew up. It was so tightly wound in there. The part was wound, and it blew, almost hit the ceiling in the garage I was in. It could have killed me about 2 inches either way. So they're blaming me for breaking the truck. Well, what dumb dopes didn't understand is Quigley, who was the superintendent at the time, asked me please not to sue. I said, no, I don't want to go to court. So in other words, that was another thing that I didn't do. So they were blaming for stuff off the wall. And Duff even got up one time, turned red, and said to X, did you know they're framing this guy? And see, the judge and the lawyer, they can't lie to one another. So X said, yes, I knew they're framing him. But they went and forged that. If we get the tapes, it'll be on there. So did you know if he broke the truck or not? See, but that's the same thing as framing you. So then when I tried to tell Duff, I said, Duff, I wasn't even there for 2 days. I had conjunctivitis and couldn't see. And Duff said, no, don't say no more on the tape. You know, because Duff was getting crazy with these guys because he was threatening to, you know, communicate them from the church. It was so bad, you know. But I mean, because they were really new at it and I was new at it because it was the first time they took anybody to court. Now, what they were trying to do is get a win in the Shackman case so that they could hold on to the First Amendment. So they put the First Amendment in the pot. So when they lost the case, they lost the First Amendment to me. And Goldie's going to tell you more about that when she talked to the FBI guy the other day and what he said to her. But getting back now to the case, so it was just, you know, questioning people, get out, don't be nervous, be friendly with the judge, you know, don't take it hard. Let them be the guys that are mad. Let them pick on you. Let them do that stuff. And you just act like a regular guy and calm down. But the first transcript I got, this is how I got it, and this was stupid. They wanted to give me a lawyer to do the damages so they can give me less damages. So, okay, they came out with a transcript. And I paid for the transcript the same day. And I looked at it, and I said, there's something wrong with the transcript. I said, there's only day 3 and 4 here. Where's day 1 and 2? And they're not supposed to leave the building. Oh, she says, well, Chuck and Mary got it. They had it over at City Hall forging it. When they came back with it, they came back with the forged transcript. So when I took it home that night, I'm reading it with my uncle, and it was late, and so we said, well, let's get this, you know, transcribed right now because it was so bad it stunk. You probably read it. If you looked at it, it looked like you got it at a secondhand store. But anyway, the point is, we went to an all-night garage, gas station, and we had them do it. And constantly, we stood there a couple of hours but got it. So what I did is I knew I couldn't tell the U.S. attorney. They were crooks. I couldn't tell the FBI. They were crooks. I couldn't tell anybody my lawyer was a crook, you know. So what I did is I took it the next day and went and filed the phony one myself. Once I filed that, that stood as the regular transcript. And all the mistakes, all the crap that's in there, everything there, they had to play with that one. See, so now I knew I had them because on there it was like you're doing a draft in Hollywood because I've been there, Hollywood, before with certain things. And they put them big markings on the page's numbers so that you don't lose where you're forging from because they have a group that forges maybe 3 or 4 people, and they're all forging a day. And what they do in your case is they take a case that they won with and try to hook it up to your case. So when you're sitting there, when they're sitting there forging and they get tired and it's like 700 pages, they start making mistakes. They have to clean up that rough draft maybe 8 times, 9 times, maybe 10. But by me putting it in, they couldn't clean it up anymore. They were gone then. I knew I had them then. And then when I found some other stuff that was wrong, I had this guy's son as a lawyer because he was young and he was scared of everything so I could control his butt. So when I got him, all the lawyers and all the court reporters think they're all in on the game. Everybody's cheating. So she was sending him what happened about this here that I pulled off, and he was telling her that I put, you know, I got the bad transcript. They didn't know I filed it though, because it takes a few days to file. So she wrote him notes and stick them saying, Cheryl Young's going to try to change the. I'll give you the name too. That's the court reporter coordinator, Cheryl Young. She's going to try to change the docket. And then they said that this isn't the original transcript. They'll put the real one in 4 years later after the trial and stuff like that. And they were doing all kinds of things. He was supposed to take the stickums off. He didn't take them off. I got them. So in other words, I knew what the hell they were doing. Because all you do is you don't get a smart lawyer. Because if you got a lawyer that costs a lot of money, just think about this. He's been in the game a long time. He's going to cheat you. Or he wouldn't be in the game. Right, Mark?
Right.
You think about that.
Yeah.
See, so in other words, you got to play games with these guys. You got to go all the way. I mean, it was a total slaughter, lambast. I mean, and these guys were so stupid, the city lawyers, that when my buddy Freddie, who passed away now and he got fired, came in from working with the vets with a suit on, they thought he was one of their guys watching the case, and they're telling him, boy, he's kicking our ass. He come over and told me that, you know. And I was. And even Duff said, Duff would just be shaking his head. He said, I told you to settle with this guy. You know what I mean? And they wouldn't do it because they hated my guts, you know, because I was winning. And then here's another thing they did. When we went to the, after I won the case, Duff rules on the case right in court. Now, he rules on it, and he says, I won this crystal clear beyond a shadow of a doubt and everything. Now, there's a reason he done that. A lot of people won't know. That's trying to make this brief shorter because it was just questioning witnesses and doing nothing and, you know, acting like you're nervous and yes, judge, and, you know, blah, 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 and all that stuff, you know what I mean? So that you're telling them how great he is and everything. And then you go down there and like, they're doing all this stuff with the cases and that, and Duff rules. So Duff says, I would rule by mail. So he's telling again, but they're going to change it because now who makes your decisions in these cases is not the judge by mail. It's the clerk, who's a total politician from one of the ward commissioners. So, in other words, that's the way that works. So when they're ruling by mail, you're probably not going to get a victory no matter if you win in court or not. See, that's how the game is played. And basically, you don't want a jury trial. Everybody wants a jury. That's baloney because they put a couple guys on a jury to argue one another, get the people tired, and then they go one way or the other with one of the guys. And here's another thing. When you get a jury, when they appeal, they can appeal and appeal and appeal. When a judge turns you down, there's not appealing because he should know the law. So you're better off with that one judge and making him into, you know, losing the case than you are with the jury because the juries are fixed too. I mean, what do you think? They're not? I mean, what do you think they get these people from? I mean, like I said, I knew this from 12 years old, 10 years old that they were fixing everything. I mean, God, it never went out. It didn't go out now yet. And basically, then we went into the appellate court. And listen to this. I had three lawyers, Friedman, I had Stowall. I can remember it like today. And I even got no papers in my hand or nothing like that. And we had Gubbins, John Gubbins. So we're all standing out in front of the Dirksen building with Duff when he came out for lunch, me and my buddy John. And he's saying, go over and take it to Nicodemus from the Sun-Times because they still might try to cheat. Now, they're saying this right in front of us. Can you imagine? You're saying in front of the guy that you're cheating there, that how they're cheating and what goes on? This was, so in other words, they put it in the Sun-Times, and then they all wanted to go on TV, and they're the ones that brought that show against all odds. Not me. I didn't even want to go. I didn't even stay around for the closing party. Some people that I knew stood, but I left. I didn't want to be with these guys. You know what I mean? They're phonies. And,
so now,
and basically, go ahead.
Well, of course, if we can avoid going in front of a jury of our peers, knowing that they're you know, slanted, and they're not being, the jury forums aren't even allowed to instruct them anymore on jury nullification, it's very wise to skip trying to get to a jury. Now, how can you do that during, like, pretrial and all that? Because you can catch them right off the bat, right? You can catch them right off the bat.
Right. Now, you want a bench trial. But see, when this was going on, like, say, 20-something years ago, whatever it was, when it was going on, they wouldn't let you have a jury trial. See, because the Shackman was a total fraud. Nobody could win it because if you won it one time, then you took over the First Amendment. You're the winner here. They can't lose one because they made it into a decree. You know what that is, Mark? A decree is a contract. So I want a contract with these guys. So when I go back to get paid for the rest of my money, they can't lower it. They can't raise it. They can't do nothing. They got to pay me every single penny that they owe for some 28 years or whatever it is. So that's great. That's great pay. Plus, they got to pay me for all the medical expenses. Because listen to this. We just caught them the other day where they said a first judge denied my medical equipment, you know, Decker. But then we found out that he retired before that case that he used to knock me down was even put in. He retires in 87 or something, and the case doesn't settle that he's using as a ruling in 88. Now, how can you do that, Mark? You know what I mean? This guy's gone. He might have even been dead by then. So how is he going to use a case that isn't done until 88? That's how bad this case was. Because when they start forging, when they start doing it, and you give them the appetite to keep doing it, they try to keep covering up with one another. And when they're doing that, they just make it all a scramble, and you just sit there and let them go. Let them do all the stuff they want to do. At the end, you got them, but the only problem is you ain't got nobody to take it to because your FBI guys at the top are working with them. You got to remember, the court reporter, the judge, your lawyer, their lawyer, somebody hiring the FBI and U.S. attorney are all against you. So you got to wait for the opportunity. The opportunity came now with Sessions and Trump. Now it's the time to move. See, it ain't being lucky. It's opportunity. Sitting there with opportunity and preparedness, that makes you luck. Luck isn't luck.
Right, let's hold,
so now it's
going
to be.
Okay. Can I
hold
have
that
floor?
Hold on 1 second. I want to hold that thought for 1 second. Give
sure.
me a second here.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
You got to let me have the floor, honey.
Okay, I'm giving it to you now.
Okay.
I was going to give it to you in a couple minutes. I thought you wanted to finish the appeal.
Hey, folks,
real fast,
I got a live report coming to us in from Orlando. At the Move the Statue rally today. It's a friend, a fellow Floridian. His name is John, known as Hog John. Hog, well, how are you? Welcome to the show, brother.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. It's a bad cell phone commercial. What's happening, brother?
Oh, not much. We had a good turnout. Okay.
All right. So first, let's go right to real fast. There was a person who was calling for the removal of a Confederate statue that was erected in 1917 downtown Orlando in Lake Eola, and they were having a town meeting today. And patriots from all over Florida jumped in their vehicles and headed straight to that spot. Now, tell folks exactly, you got there early. How was the mood when you first got there before you guys went into the meeting?
It was mainly the patriots there. There wasn't too many, except for the guy that's calling for removal. He's a blogger, a local blogger. And he had a Black Lives Matter t-shirt on. Imagine that.
Right. So now you guys are out there, and there's a couple of people chanting and cheering. And what I saw was really excellent was the unfurling of a 12-foot by 12-foot Stars and Bars flag. And then when the protesters from the other side were trying to come in and shout and hold their signs up, everybody walked over with their flags on flagpoles and blocked them so nobody could see them. Now, that's good
stuff
right
there. Yeah, there was only four of them. Yeah, there was only four people protesting against us.
Good, you see?
So,
and they want to take down the Confederate statues and history here in Florida. It ain't going to fly because we got guys like Hog John and his boy Josh and the rest of the 3%ers in Florida. Them guys alone, the nationally recognized guys, will make sure that these Confederate statues stay put. I think that's a fair statement, no?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to fight for it, but yeah, we're fighters.
Right on.
We're not going to let them take it down without a fight.
Now, you guys went into this meeting there in Orlando and had an opportunity to speak. Did you get to have someone have the opportunity to speak and tell our side of the story, those of us who wish to preserve history and those whose heritage is at stake here? For me, it's history. For a lot of you guys, it's your heritage and your history. It's your family lineage. These guys are veterans of war. Whether they're still American veterans, and they're buried in Civil War cemeteries across this country, and they are somebody's family. Whether you agreed with the Civil War, or you disagree with the Civil War, it's history. It's these guys' history, and they stood tall today to protect it. And when you went into this meeting, what was said by our Confederate supporting side?
Well, I was outside. We had a guy from our group, which was Bob. He did an excellent job in there, but I was outside. Yes, it was them in case something went down.
And did they come out and say that the mayor is talking about the statue is going to be moved to a Civil War cemetery? Or are they?
Yeah,
what happens, it's going to stay right where it's at?
Yeah, Well, his mindset at the beginning, from the get-go, was, you know, moving it to the Confederate cemetery, but he didn't know he had all this big, all these people coming to fight against it. You know, he thought it'd just been just something real quick and be over with. But nope, right. He was wrong.
Surprise!
So I guess they have to have come. They're gonna, I guess, gonna vote on it, but I don't know. They should have it for the people to vote on it, not. That's what they should do. So, I mean, we're going to keep updated on it and see where it goes from. But, yeah.
And did they set any kind of date when they want to remove the statue or move it to another location? Did they give any kind of time frame? Or did they say,
you know what? No, I didn't hear no. Huh?
I heard some noise. So right now, there's no specific date for the removal of the statue that you're aware of.
There's not a time frame right now about removing it.
Well, we're going to keep our eye on this situation and make sure as it develops that these statues and these monuments stay put because this is history and heritage, folks. And you can't – last time they erased history by knocking down the statues – 6 million Jews were executed shortly after. And once the statues and the monuments go, the people are next. That's what the FEMA coffins are for.
Yeah, that's right. They didn't say a date yet. They have, so.
Hey, I want to thank you, brother, for coming to us live with that report right there. Folks, this is what it's all about. Search Hog out on the Facebook pages, Hog John, and watch the live feed videos on his page and see what it's like to be a patriot firsthand with your own eyes. If you can make a stand, some true patriots can make that stand. They can get in their cars and go. This is what it looks like. Now, there's folks that can't actually get in their vehicles and go. They may stay home and email their senators and call the White House and scream and yell and you know, make a lot of noise that way. Some folks do radio shows. Hey, guys, welcome to the show. Here we are. And we do all have our part in this. And so, you know, you can't say one person's more patriot than the other because he didn't make it to the rally, because people are doing things behind the scenes that are just as important. John, I want to thank you so much and keep us abreast on what's going on. We'll keep you guys coming on the show with the reports as we go through this.
All right, I will. Thank you for having me come on. I want to thank everybody that made it out there to show support with us. Orlando,
give some props to your groups and everything. You know, this is your turn for a shameless plug.
Oh yeah, we are. This is not coming down.
And what's promote your group and you know your guys, the 3%ers and all the things you're trying to do. Pages, groups.
We're the 3% of Florida affiliated with a national group. And we're just about the Constitution and standing our ground when they're trying to erase history, taking these monuments down.
Ignored it.
You can look find me. You can find our page.
Yes, sir. Now, folks, remember that 3%ers are getting a bad rap in national media, and what the national media is not doing is getting the whole deal with a. Patriot truly is. A 3% patriot is a community neighbor. He's someone across the street or down the block who will be there for his neighbors and his community when proverbial poop hits the fan. He's not just there for himself. A 3%er will make sure that folks survive and get out safely from whatever is happening, whether it's a hurricane, flash flood, a fire, or war. They're there. They're the 3%. They'll take care of America, and they will make sure that liberty and freedom lives on in the face of adversity and tyranny. Again, John, thanks for coming on. I want to throw you back on hold. You can stick around and listen to the rest of this great interview with Eugene, because we got a lot of things coming up here. Our friend Goldie is going to join the show here and take the floor here for a few minutes and explain some more things. She's doing some good research with Eugene. Again, Hog, thanks for coming on, brother.
All right, thanks for having me.
Stay in the show if you like. Stay right on hold, or you can hang up. Up to you, brother. I'll talk soon.
I'll watch.
All right, here we go. Now, Goldie, Your turn. Now tell us what you got to add to this, because I know you are doing a lot of research. You're out there, searching and looking and digging and trying to find all the information you can to make sure that we can help our fellow Americans with this defeat of the Shankman Decree there in Chicago. And now we have this great warrior out here trying to help save our country one way or another. We have many people out here battling, folks, to try and bring America back to the constitutional republic that was the vision of our forefathers. So go ahead, Goldie.
Well, thank you for the floor, Mark. I'd like to give you a little Eugene's case in a nutshell. Okay, he was working for the city of Chicago for 11 years when one day he just decided to give Daley a $1,000 donation. Well, Daley wasn't the one that his bosses told him that he had to vote for and he had to work for. And this is how the patronage works. They tell you who you're going to vote for.
Let me butt in real fast. I want to share this with folks. This is my own experience. I worked for IBEW Local Number 3 out of New York City. And this was during the time of 9/11. I worked there. And when I first joined the union, they actually told me, because I put down what I wanted to be. You know, I was, Republican. You know, that's what I was putting down. And they actually told me, in order to be in this union, you have to register as a Democrat. So that led me to ask them, well, does that mean when time comes to donate to political parties, you're going to donate my dues to the other side that I don't support? Yep. I said, well, I don't want to know part of that. Well, if you want to be in this union, you want to make a living, you want to eat, you're part of it. So I registered as a Democrat, and I voted Republican. I voted for, I voted with my conscience. I don't necessarily vote always party line. I vote with my conscience, and because of research, I don't vote for the lawn sign. You know what I mean? But they actually told me that. If you want to be in this union, you have to register as a Democrat. I was
That's it.
I didn't like it.
That's how the patronage works.
Yep, exactly. But, so I said, okay, well, I registered as a Democrat. Then I moved to Florida, and I stayed registered a Democrat, which was kind of funny because every time the campaign season came around, they call me up on the phone. Yes, we would really like to get a contribution for you. Will you donate to so-and-so? I'm like, you people are mental. I'm not donating to your crazy party. Are you nuts? Get the hell out of here. And it took them about three elections before they finally said, you know what? This guy ain't voting for us. And they got me. They put a red flag or something next to my name. They stopped calling for donations. So then I changed my party affiliation to Libertarian.
There you go. There you go.
All right, go ahead.
We'll get into the patronage here in a second. I'll include you, Mark, I promise. So Eugene was working. He gave a donation. It went against the grain of the patronage. Okay, the patronage in Chicago is very, very strong. I've talked to people who basically have grown up with the patronage in their homes as part of their everyday life. Everything is Democrat patronage, Democrat, Democrat. Everything in Chicago is Democrat. It's a group. It's a gang. It's their families, their friends. They all hire each other. They all work together. You have to go along with what they tell you to do, and if you don't, they will fire you. Well, that's what they did to Eugene. Okay, he didn't go along with what they told him to do, so they fired him. Well, because it was over a issue of donation to, who he's going to vote for, it made it a political firing, and that's where the Shachtman comes in, the Shachtman Decree. They had made a law saying you can't fire anyone if they go against who your bosses want them to vote for, okay? And, well, Eugene did that, and that's why he was fired. So when he went to court, they pulled all their little court tricks, by bringing in fake people for fabricated reasons. And Eugene was able to show, hey, I wasn't there. You fabricated that. You are lying. Okay? And he basically got them to admit that they were lying and they were cheating him. Even this Mr. X's lawyer, even he was trying to frame Mr. Zurich. And that went on and on and on. Well, eventually Eugene won. The judge said it right in court, hey, you're the winner. Well, that's when the real mess started, okay, because the other side wasn't happy, because what a Shachtman decree win meant for the city is they couldn't fire anybody ever again for patronage. And patronage is so strong, it controls everything and everybody in every city job in Chicago and in this nation, where people don't realize that yet. It's in everything. So once he won, they said, well, we gotta pay you something. So they made his case an acquittable case. They also said, hey, nobody ever has before won a contract. What do we do with this contract? There's no other precedent cases to rule under. So what do we do? What does the judge do? He turns Eugene's contract into a First Amendment contract and basically makes Eugene's case a contract with the First Amendment. And it's stronger than anybody else's cases out there. Okay, it's like you can't get rid of the First Amendment unless you get rid of Eugene first. And for many years now, they've hidden this, because they continue their patronage in everything. They don't want people to know there was a winner, that they're not supposed to be doing this. They're not supposed to be cheating you. They're not supposed to be firing you. You have protections. You have the First Amendment protection saying life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, you know, fairness, free speech, everything. Okay? You get rid of Eugene's case, you get rid of free speech. You get rid of Eugene's case. You get rid of getting your case in court, any parent ever never getting their kids back, ever winning a case in court ever again, because the patronage will have a free-for-all with no First Amendment and non-prostitution. That's what we're trying to do.
Couldn't patronage fall under RICO laws, racketeering and stuff? Patronage
but think of it this way, Mark. This is a little bit bigger than just patronage. You know, in racketeering, okay,
yeah.
Because every court is doing this. Every politician is doing this. This is a national, not just an epidemic, but it's, you know, treason isn't even the right word for this. What's bigger than treason when they're all doing this together? There are actually government reports that were just released saying, yes, we are cheating everybody. We are a patronage that the Democratic National Convention are all working together,
city.
And this report I read just last night, it basically made the Democrats their class of people, their own class.
We didn't need them to tell us.
The Democrats are better than us. What?
It's obvious that that's what they think anyway. They walk around parading around. They're all above the law. You got people like the governor of New York passing the SAFE Act, violating the Constitution. Democrat, breaks laws all the time, doesn't go to jail. Hillary Clinton, the queen of double standards, breaks every law under the book, is a thief and a criminal, and runs free, while Christian Saucier rots in a prison cell for 6 photographs, and this lady had 150 counts.
What?
He had 6.
Well,
she walked free.
It's because that patronage has been together a very long time, and they have infiltrated our entire system now. So that FBI guy, Comey, was her man. You got to realize that when Obama was in, all 94 U.S. attorneys belonged to him. They all came from Chicago or had ties to Chicago. Even here where I live in California, there's ties to Chicago. In everything. Everything points back to Chicago. People have to realize
when and where they started to cheat
in the courts.
A lot of folks don't know that FBI Director James Comey was part of the team that helped Bill Clinton beat Whitewater.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Oh,
They've been connected.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Bill Clinton. How many people know that? Nobody knows that.
I
very
do.
Few. Yeah, but very, very, of course, yeah. I figured that, Eugene. Please, you knew that. But a lot of people don't know that. And, you know, so many people are like, you know, well, Clinton was impeached because he lied about that affair in the Oval Office. I'm like, minute. The straw that broke the camel's back that pissed everybody off so bad, said this guy's got to go. And so that's what happened. Whitewater.
Well, part of the patronage is if you have to lie, you have to take an oath that you will lie for your brotherhood of patronages, you know, for these people. The name of the game is to lie. They have to cheat you to beat you. And it's all a cheat. Everything in every court, even the court system is an entire cheating game where the judges don't have to use rule of law at all. Okay, and all the parents in this country know that. And they're still writing those briefs, let's fight this. Well, there's a faster way to win all this for every parent and every person who's ever gone to court, all those mortgage people, all those prisoners. There's a way from A to Z that can go really, really fast for everyone. And people don't realize that. And that's what Eugene figured out in his case when he was fighting them. He's like, hey, I see here, look at this is how they cheat. And this is how they cheated me. And we're trying to get that out there. They're cheating everyone because they're not using any rule of law. It, you know, and even some of those other precedent cases that they use to win over your case, those are even frauded. So they're using fraudulent precedent cases to rule in a fraudulent case, and it makes your case fraudulent. I don't know what case out there isn't fraudulent. They all are.
Hey,
and
Goldie.
People just now, need to stop and learn this.
Goldie, tell them about the decree. You know, Mark, they're appealing that and everything. You can't appeal a decree. These idiots were appealing the decree. They were keeping me in 4 years so I'd settle, and everybody knows you can't appeal a decree. Even the judges in the Seventh Circuit, they were just going along with it because they were all corrupt. I mean, they were trying somehow to stop me, and I wouldn't do it. I'd, you know, blame it on the doctor. He wouldn't let me go and stuff like that. How about Lawrence Rosenthal? Listen, Lawrence Rosenthal. That's where I got the Rule 11.
Oh,
he goes in there to the oral argument in the Supreme Court, and he steals out the tape, but he signs for it, and I got it. I got so much on them, we don't need no more for my case. It doesn't
matter. Seriously, a U.S. attorney commits a crime and nobody does anything? Okay,
well,
steals from the court?
Well, the whole court system, it's like the code of blue. You don't rat on your pals. Even defense lawyers, prosecutors, judges, they're all in it together. And what I learned since I've been doing my show is the for-profit prison system is really an issue among all of this, where judges and prosecutors and defense attorneys are all invested in the private prison system. So when you walk into the courtroom, you are guilty. It's the only guilty that only care about guilty, because that guilty person goes on a cot in a private prison, which brings money to investors who make money for their retirement.
Right.
That's one of the things that folks think is this is all
because
a big scam.
Every lawyer out there knows that they can lie, cheat, and steal to put this guy in. Basically, it's so bad out there that the police can just walk up to any street corner, say you're guilty, and throw you in jail. That's what they're doing. To fill these private prisons, they're not just kidnapping children. They're kidnapping people off the street and saying you're guilty. They fabricate all the evidence. They have their little word games. They play back and forth in court. And then, boom, you're guilty. Now, these jury trials that you have, let me explain that. They have something called scientific jury selection now, and they actually have, the Judicial Commission has a algorithm program that they can actually spit out who they want your jury to be. So you've got your head guy, well, they're going to put in a bully. the head guy's always got to be a narcissist or a bully. And then they've got the last guy. They're really weak. They'll just follow along, you know. And all of these people are predetermined so it can control the outcome of your case. So
right.
They're telling you, well, it's random. No, because think of it this way. Well, they're going to have this trial, and we want a guilty verdict. So we're going to send this to 200 people that have certain personality types. And when those 200 people come in, we already know which one of those 200 people we're going to pick for this 12-man jury.
Right.
Okay? Because your lawyer knows. Your lawyer knows who to pick already. That isn't, natural, like you think it is when you go into court, because you're allowed to know these things. They don't want you to know these things. They've already predetermined your jury even going in, okay? And how can I say? It's just amazing how they control this system. You know, all the electronics, it's bigger than you even know nowadays. In the old days with the gene, they just had the old tapes. But now, you walk into a brand-new courthouse and the windows are listening devices, okay? The elevators are listening devices. They have every
smart
courtroom
TV
in America tapped.
Smart TVs.
Pardon?
So, smart TVs are watching and everything. So, I'm right here at the end of this broadcast tonight, and I would love to have you guys come on because there is so much more to cover. If we could maybe come on again next Monday and talk and finish
there
this conversation.
There is so much more to cover. And Eugene, is there anything else you need to say? Oh, I do want to say one thing. I do. Last week, I was contacted through another person by the FBI, and they have offered Eugene a really bad deal, and they were trying to convince Eugene to give up the shack and give up the First Amendment for money. Okay, they said, you can't outlast us. You will die trying. You better take your money now. Okay. And because this Shackman and Eugene's case is so damaging to this entire country, okay, they are trying to take it away and they're trying to shut it down. We're out here trying to save every parent, every person. We're trying to show them the entire court system and the entire government is a patronage. And they all are working together to steal. It's a syndicate of thieves. And Eugene won't settle because Eugene already won. They cheated him. He proved it. He took his case to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court cheated him. The Supreme Court frauded Eugene. Now, who do you go to when you can't even go to the top court of the land to have your rights and they violate them there too? Who do you go to? You have Sessions now. You have Trump now. Amen. Thank you for that. And that's who we go to. We force them. We're going to be filing an injunction with Sessions against our government, against the Supreme Court, because they have to hear Eugene's case. They have to hear everybody. They have to stop this judicial corruption, this political corruption in our country, that they have to cheat you to beat you. It's got to end. People are suffering. People are getting their whole life messed up, traumatized. They're losing their kids, their families, their money, their homes. And these people feel nothing for you. They don't care. So we have to show them who's boss. We are the patriots. We are the ones that can stand up for ourselves because we are many. They are few. And if it takes rushing your courthouse, you rush your courthouse. I'm sorry. But these people expect you to sit back and be complicit while they continue to take thousands of children and put thousands of people in prison and the children dying and the medical abuse. It's out of control. It's got to stop. And Eugene's case is the only one that could do it because he's got the contract with First Amendment. Period. Okay?
Now, next week,
thank you,
next
Mark.
Next week, what I want to try to cover is how this can be applied to help folks that are wrongly convicted, or how they, you know, can these tapes reverse cases that have already been deemed guilty and these people are serving already?
Yes.
Well,
yes,
let me,
they can.
Wait, let me just throw this in here, okay, because what she's saying is right and everything's right, but here's the point. Murder, kidnapping, and fraud upon the court. Now listen to what I'm saying. Fraud upon the court by the court has no statute of limitations. If your tape is cheating from the transcript, there's no statute of limitation. Any prisoner can get out. Anybody can get out. Anybody can win. There is no statute of limitations. But listen, you have to have them frauding each other. You can't say you know about the fraud. They got to completely do what they did with me, is they're admitting to the fraud that they did it. See, that's the key to the whole game. And, yeah, they could be beaten, and, yeah, they made offers, and they were talking to Goldie today about it and screaming and yelling and saying, I don't own the Shackman. And this is how crazy it's getting now. So they're coming close to giving all kinds of money and yelling about money and money and money. But, you know, I'll get it one way or the other. Ain't no big deal. But the point is, right, Goldie, weren't they telling you today, yelling and screaming out of control?
Oh, yeah, they were angry. They were insisting that Eugene sign documents that they refused to even tell them what they are, okay, and yes, saying, well, he's, you know, we can outlast you. You're going to die before you ever get paid, okay? They're never going to fix the Shackman. They're never going to fix the courts. And I said, no, I don't believe that. I don't. And I don't think anybody in this country believes that either.
No,
and we're
going to
make
because they're going to lose. They lost the ready. Go ahead.
Yeah,
Mark.
Yeah. And it's really good that because. Go ahead.
They cheated Eugene from beginning to end. They cheat everybody from beginning to end. Everybody's been frauded. Everybody deserves back what they were, what were stolen from them, what they've taken from them. They took Eugene's livelihood. They took his livelihood for 33 years. He wasn't
right
able to leave his house, go anywhere. He's on medication. They did to him what they're doing to every person in this country right now. Okay?
And
this tearing down of this statue. That's part of it, too. That's a part of the fraud. They just don't care. This patronage is run amok. We got to get rid of this patronage. And the patronage is very big. It's not just the Democrats. They are Republican patronages, too. You know?
Absolutely.
They all work together. And we, as citizens, must stop all of them.
No, they can be beaten, though, Mark. We'll beat them in a few weeks. It'll be done and over with. But they can be beaten. There's no problem with that. It's just I like to see them squirm like that and yell and get mad and lose control. You know?
It was a good one, I have to say.
Come back on next week, same bat time, same bat channel, and we'll continue this. Because I really got to wrap it up here.
Thank you, Mark.
So, this Eugene Wisart and Goldie Moore making a stand and showing folks exactly what it takes to win your case. No tapes equals no justice. Remember that, folks. And we'll be back here this Thursday. Again, I'm going to have another gentleman on who's going through some fraudulent court cases. And I hope that you guys can tune in and maybe add 2 cents and tell this gentleman what exactly he can do. That's Thursday, 8 p.m. right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. You can call the listener line at 347-637-3942 during the show. And we're going to have this gentleman on next week. Look for all the details. He's coming on this Thursday, 8 o'clock. It's going to be quite interesting hearing as we slowly delve into the corruption of the courts and how folks can get around it and beat the crap out of these corrupt suckers that are trashing our country and trashing our courts and trashing our families and our lives. We have political prisoners that are suffering right now out in Pahrump, Nevada, in the federal penitentiary, the Bundys and others. These guys can win their cases very simply. No chase,
okay,
no tape, no justice. Yes, ma'am.
Mark, if you can hear me, I'm going to be starting to post the good stuff on my page. I'm going to start teaching these people how to win for themselves, how to fight. I'm going to be releasing a lot of Eugene's documents and court case, and I'm going to do an information dump for everybody in this country. I hope the government hears me, realizing how they know how dangerous Eugene's case is. They know Eugene's case can help
every
person
day
in this country. Okay, so go to hashtag death of the justice system, hashtag Eugene Corus Dorick case, hashtag Eugene Dorick. Start looking for this stuff to help yourself.
Amen.
You.
Folks, there you have it. That's Eugene
Amen.
And Goldie. We'll be back next Monday. We'll continue this series. If it takes 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, we're going to cover everything because this is important, folks. We have political prisoners suffering, and we can help them. And that's part of the reason why I want to have this show. We have political prisoners from
77-year-old
veterans.
He wrote this book. In this book is everything we just told you and more in that book because it's so hard to teach. If you have something in front of you, you can read and you can learn how to fight for yourself. You know, and people think it's for money. No, we don't give a dime. I don't give a dime. It's to
teach.
You know, it tells you the steps, what to look for, what to do, how to fight for yourself. The same way Eugene did. Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much,
folks. Have a good day, Mark.
You too. Thanks for coming on, ladies and gentlemen. That's Eugene and Goldie. We're going to keep rocking this series till we get this covered and we get this information out to the people. Now, I want to make sure you tune in Tuesday night to a Conservative's Perspective Tuesday night show with James Bostic. Wednesday night, Vet Talk with Gonzalo Duran. Make sure you tune in there. Saturday night, Constitutional Millennials with Patrick Miller. Hold on, my cat's knocking. Come on in, kitty. But right now he's on vacation. He went over to Deutschland, so his show is on hold currently. And, of course, my show here, normally the Trainwreck Radio Show, but tonight it's the Patriot Nation Radio Show. Tune in each and every week. Look for us on the Facebook pages and look for me all over the place. I'm everywhere. I post everything all over the place. And I want to thank each and every one of you guys for tuning in tonight, getting this important information. I want to thank everybody who tuned in on the live feed, especially Ken and a couple of the other guys, James and Ken. They see they have some great comments to make. Always on the show. I want to thank those guys for always coming on and checking out the show. And check out Live Truth Radio with Brian Lang, United Saints of America with Pastor Sylvester Bland. These guys are doing great stuff too. They've got great shows. Spread the Word with Gillis. You want to check out the show. And we got a lot of great shows going on, and we're all doing the same thing, and none of us are making a dime. So, folks, it's not about the money. It's about the message. And the message is freedom, liberty, and the American way of life must be preserved. So I have a son, and I want him to enjoy it. And he may have children. And them children, I want them all to enjoy freedom.
Freedom.
The inalienable rights granted by God. With that, folks, I want to say good night. God bless America. And if you have the opportunity to remove your hat, put your hand on your heart, face the flag. If not, I'll make sure you can see the flag behind me right here as we do the Star Spangled Banner as performed by my good friend, Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com, a cappella in Pittsburgh. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and God bless America.
That's what I'm talking about. We're going to sing it together. You ready?
Yeah.
Come on, Pittsburgh. Are you ready?
Whoa, see, can you see my dawn's early light, put so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that
folks, thanks a lot for tuning in. Until we meet again, good night. God bless America. God bless you.